Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I love what Zach said in that respect, where, there are guys that talk more than others and that are louder. You've been in professional practices. Everybody's talking. Mm-hmm. Everybody's communicating. You can't play this game. You can't get to this level without communicating on a regular basis.
Yeah, but is it fair to say there's normally a voice that stands out? Like Yo's voice was really
it stood out a lot in
Monarch's practices.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Kara's essentially Malik in a way. Like she doesn't stop talking.
Right.
But she's doing it like Malik might be talking trash. Kara was doing it in a more like she knew her assignment and everyone else's assignment and would be vocal about it.
Yeah. And I think that so Kara would probably be a good example. I think Keon is talking a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like I think Keon is communicating constantly and telling people where they're supposed to be and saying this is where I'm at or whatever. To your point, though, there are players who do it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what people are looking for or whatever. But I also think, like I said, Zach said, there's a lot of veterans out there. They're communicating. They're talking to somebody's in the wrong spot, dead ball. Hey, remember, you need to be over here because when that ball's on that side, I'm going to be helping here. Like, I think that happens often, especially at this point in time. Does it happen that way in April? I don't know. Hopefully. But right now, yeah, I think a lot of people are out there communicating every second they're out on the floor.
Communication is the key to the defensive side of the ball, no? Communication and effort?
Yes. Yes, 100%.
I saw Anthony Slater. ESPN wrote, it was like, I think it was like questions for all 32 teams or something like that in the league. And Slater, who obviously is continuing his role of covering both the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors, asked the question, can the Kings offense, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is the gist of it, can the Kings offense hide their serious flaws on defense, which is it's a tradition unlike any other. The Kings defense, long before they step on the floor, is going to be criticized, and their offense is going to ask to excel. And Ant-Man said, and credit to Anthony, and I really appreciated this about what he wrote. He actually acknowledged the Kings were talented.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, there's a lot of talent on this team, which is so unusual for someone to actually acknowledge, because you would think this team was compiled of a bunch of scrubs, the way that people talk about them. But he said it would take a top 10 offense to... they would need a top 10 offense to overachieve, to make up for their defensive flaws, because they're going to be if they're a bottom 10 team defensively, they're going to have to be incredible on offense. Mm-hmm. And I want to point something out really quick. Last year, what were they ranked as an offense?
Different metrics, but I think in points per game, they were like eighth.
You know what they were as an offensive rating?
What's that?
Seven. So you got to excel. You got to be top 10. Got it. If you're a bottom 10 defensive team, do you know what they were last year?
29.
They were 22nd.
Ah, better than I thought.
I'm begging somebody to come up with something different for this basketball team. Like, and I understand. And we learned, it must have been Beam Team 1 year that the running joke was, maybe it was power rankings, because I think that's the only time we've ever paid attention to power rankings, mm-hmm. is every year the paragraph would end with, yeah, but can their defensive woes... It would be like the last sentence every week would be something about the Sacramento Kings defensive struggles, woes, whatever.
Yeah.
And I get it. You have to be better defensively. Mm-hmm. They have to be better defensively. This is already a good offensive team. I think there's ways to make, obviously Scott Perry feels like there are ways that this team could be better. Domantas Sabonis, Malik Monk, all of Keegan Murray, all of those guys feels like DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. feel like there's ways that this team could be better, because at the end of last season, everyone said the same exact thing. Again, depending on the metric you use, top eight, top seven. Great. They all acknowledged they needed a point guard. And I don't know who the point guard was that everybody wanted, but you could put it on my tombstone. They got a pretty good one.
Yes.
I think Dennis Schroeder's really good. And I think he's going to be great in this role. And I think now you have the opportunity, similar to De'Aaron, not as a scorer, but as a facilitator, mm-hmm. and perhaps a one-of-its-kind in Sacramento organizer.
Shout out to the organizers.
Now you have two facilitators on the floor now in Dennis and Domas. Mm-hmm. Which to me, and maybe I'm just dead wrong, I feel like that opens things up a lot for Zach LaVine. Maybe Keegan Murray, not so much DeMar DeRozan, because I feel like DeMar does a lot of stuff on his own, and I'm not criticizing him for ISO ball or anything like that. But I don't know what having, you know, we go back to the Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan thing in Chicago, where everyone says that's where the team was at their best. Mm-hmm. DeMar was great that year. I know everyone hates this, and context is important. DeMar was good. DeMar was really good last year too. Maybe this facilitator, maybe having these two facilitators back on the floor with these two scorers, these two 20-plus per game scorers in Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, maybe that helps what was already a pretty good Sacramento Kings offense.
I've been saying for a while, that is not the issue. Offense is not the issue. Mm-hmm. I know people may want to see a different type of offense, see it played a different way or whatever. Sure, I get it. But you talked about two categories right there, offensive rating and points per game. Top 10 in the league. Even the, you know, efficiency and field goal percentage are related, but I know they're two different things. They were top 10 in field goal percentage this past year, mm-hmm. which leads me to believe that efficiency is probably pretty good as well, mm-hmm. if rating and field goal percentage are high. Offense wasn't this team's problem. And that's what people always want to talk about when they talk about this team. They talk about all the fit is bad, and they got talent, but can they play together? And they need to change the offense. They need to change the offense for real. Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
The offense is fine. It may not be what you want to see, but now we get into, like, as a player, uh-huh. as an observer, do you want to be right or do you want results?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because this is not what I've heard from anybody or them or nothing like that. I'm just using an example. Maybe Domantas Sabonis thinks the offense should go through him. And if it's not going through him, he's like, man, it's the wrong way to go about things. and it's going through DeMar DeRozan, and they're scoring 117 points per game. If you're Demonis, should you be pouting about that because it's not going through you? Or just say, hey, this is actually working as well? Or we could flip that around. Mm-hmm. If they give the ball to DeMontis Sabonis all the time, and DeMar DeRozan's not getting the same looks or same touches that he did last year, but they're averaging 117 points per game, should DeMar be mad? No. Like, the bottom line is we want to be an efficient offense. Mm-hmm. We want to be an offense that is able to compete against anybody, put pressure on the opposing team's defense, and let them know you're dealing with a top 10 scoring team in the league. I don't really care how you get there. I don't, personally.
Mm-hmm.
You can get there by 50 threes. You can get there by 22 threes and get into the free throw line all the night long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you get there. I just want it to be done. And that's where I think Kings fans got to have a talk with themselves. Like, do you really want things to just get done, or do you want it to get done the way you think it should be done or the way you want to see it? Those are two different conversations. But, yeah.
You think the offense was good enough last year?
I do.
And the sole reason they finished 40 and 42?
Mm-hmm.
Was defense.
Defense, and then once De'Aaron Fox left, they did lack a point guard.
So, okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because part of what we part of those numbers, those the numbers we just gave you, the points per game and the offensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
That's season long.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes, you know, from October to February.
Yep.
When De'Aaron Fox was here, things looked and felt different. Not so much. Pretty much immediately. Like, you know, vibes hit when Mike Brown was fired. Mm-hmm. That was December. So the big run which is, you know, the 10 of 11 run, that is what ultimately got Sacramento to the, wound up them getting to the 40 and 42 record, was with De'Aaron Fox. That was before he was traded. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure Will Z could do this, the numbers post De'Aaron, I'm sure, are a little bit different.
When from De'Aaron leaving, they, and this is just points per game, I don't have the rating or nothing like that, but they went from 10th in the league over the season to, just with De'Aaron gone, 16th. So they were middle of the pack offensively.
Oh, wow.
114.7 a night.
So that's a hefty drop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without having the offensive ratings numbers in front, you have to assume, again, if it was they were 8 in points per game, 7th in offensive rating, there's going to be a fall off, because those numbers are obviously close to each other. There's going to be a fall off in that number as well, which is going to put him back towards the middle of the pack, which is what you can't afford to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to be the middle of the pack defense, which, again, it brings this conversation back to light. Okay, you have the facilitator, you have the organizer, you have a guy who can actually score points for you. I know that that's not commonly talked about. Dennis Schroeder's not a 29-point-per-game scorer. He's not going to average, you know, 31, 32 for a month or two like De'Aaron Fox did, but he can get you 15 to 20 some odd points per game. Mm-hmm. And when you got Zach LaVine, you got DeMar DeRozan, and you got Domas scoring 17 to 20 off of 12 shots, that's just fine, because that doesn't even factor in Keegan Murray yet or what Keon and Malik can do. But with those numbers that you just gave us, it's clear that the offense post De'Aaron Fox does have to get better.
Now, once again, rating, I don't have rating in front of me. I just got like the traditional numbers. In that time period, though,
mm-hmm.
the Kings were 7th in the league in field goal percentage. 48.4%. Okay. That's up there with Denver.
Okay, nerd. What do you want me to do with all these numbers?
I don't know what to do with their points per game falling off. And their
field goal percentage
staying
so
high.
Good. Yeah.
It's up there with Indiana. Indiana's behind them at 8.
And they were running
at
that time of the season.
The Clippers are second with 49.7.
Well, they paid for that.
The Thunder up there.
Steve Ballmer.
The Kings and the Hawks are clearly the two worst teams in this top eight. So what that says to me.
So interesting. The Hawks were eight?
The Hawks were third.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's Nuggets 1, Clippers 2, Hawks 3, Thunder 4, Bucks 5, Pistons 6, Kings 7.
All right, bro. I got nothing.
Field goal percentage.
I don't know. Do whatever you want with that. I got
nothing. One thing I can say about that, and here, let me click on this button and see what it says, is...
Famous last words.
I think, I feel like the three-point percentage might have... No, it didn't go down at all. They were seventh in three-point percentage when De'Aaron was gone during that time. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe they got more twos and stuff like that, but they lost one of the three-point shooters at that time, and that hurt. I think one of the things that probably happened is they were not good with turning the ball over. When not having that point guard there really hurt them. I think they ended up being middle of the pack. But – All the numbers and everything else like that. I think that the symmetry that they were lacking without a point guard is something that Dennis Schroeder being there now can kind of help with. And you combine that with guys who can put the ball in the basket. LaVine, DeRozan, Sabonis, Keegan, Monk coming off the bench. Keon is a great catch and shoot type guy. Dennis himself. I think they have enough on offense.
So I'm a little, so the we're in agreement. The offense does need to be better.
I don't think it needs to be better. I think it needs to be the same. It's going to look a little different. I do think it
the same as in October to February.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
the points per game went down. To middle.
And that's where, like, that's where it got clunky. That's like, I mean, it's post De'Aaron that DeMar's attempting to win basketball games, right? It's post De'Aaron, obviously, you know, Zach LaVine, you know, had it took a few, but, you know, he had a breakout game in that regard. Like, there weren't a lot of, at least not off the top of my head, not a lot of, you know, we joked, I don't know, recently about that first quarter of that first preseason game with DeMar DeRozan and how we thought, all right, we did it. This is everything we were looking for. Perfect. I feel like the score was 39-36 or something like that. And I can remember if the Kings were up or if the Kings were down. Mm-hmm. But I remember we thought, all right, dope. Like that's what everybody wanted to see. Shut it down, guys. We did it. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the post-De'Aaron Kings having a game like where it was, oh, they figured it out. There were games where it was like, ah, Zach, that's what we wanted to see.
Yeah.
There was I think it was versus Dallas, DeMar's superhuman game.
They were super hit or miss after De'Aaron.
Yeah, and then so I guess that is the symmetry you're talking about. That's where Dennis comes into place in all of this, is he can bring that normalcy is not the right word, but he can bring that stabilizer.
The organization. Will.
Look at that man right there. That's a professional. You know what Dennis thinks about that? That right there. Let's hear from the charismatic point guard of the Sacramento Kings, our man Dennis Schroeder, after his first practice as a King.
Offensive and defensive principles.
Oh, buddy, you're going to have to speak up.
Played a little 5-on-5. Yeah, it was a great first day.
What stood out to you about the way that Doug runs things?
He's direct. Want that dog mentality, that we pressure full court. Wants it, you know, to be together as a team, as a unit. And, yeah, we got to work on those things.
It seems like pace is a big focus. You guys running at the end there. Just how does that play into your guys' strengths?
I think that's great. I mean, we got so many talented guys who can, you know, play in fast break. We got a lot of fast break points. Zach LaVine, you know, Domas, who can run as a big man. Keegan, Debo. I think that's great basketball. Everybody's touching it. You're going to get easy layups and easy threes from it. So... We just gotta, you know, keep going at it and get better at it.
What's your anticipation for conditioning of this team? I mean, obviously you've been coming out from over Europe, you're kind of good to go, I would imagine. But what do you see?
Just say 94 feet.
I mean, it was first day. I took off like 6-7 days as myself, so I got to get back to it as well. I still got my rhythm. But I think when we, you know, first day, we doing those type of drills, I think everybody's going to be good in a few days. And if we practice those things and we're creating habits, good habits, it's going to become normal for us.
People talk about like.
I'm gonna give Dennis one more chance.
Oh man,
I'm gonna give him one more chance.
Come on, man, he's got to get there.
I love Dennis. He's just not the most exciting guy to listen to, and I really want him to say 94 feet.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Chemistry with new surroundings. From your experience, you've been in a lot of those. Just where do you see when that things start coming together? Like, what do you have to see signs of that happening?
And Sean always sounds like he's calling into a slow jam show to dedicate a song to his girl. Like, Sean is just chill. That's one of the. I think that's why everyone talks to Sean, because he's not like he's not animated. No, like no. He just asked the question,
just,
like,
yeah, just, I was about to say, and I was like, man, words.
Sean's a very comfortable person to talk to. He's very.
That's why I talk to him all the time when
relaxing.
I see him.
Yeah. You know what Sean did when he saw me walk into the event you and I went to the other day? Mm. He laughed.
Why?
Well, he goes, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. I was just surprised you were here. And it was my first reaction. All right, man. Matt George, where were you?
I think he did tell us that Dennis cursed.
Did he?
I think he did.
Oh,
I remember,
man.
He said two people cursed.
Did he? No, hold on.
I think I texted you guys that Ham told me he cursed.
Ham said it. That's who said it.
Oh, did Ham say it?
That's I texted it. You that Ham told me that Dennis said this.
Buddy, no, you didn't.
Oh, I meant to then. That's my fault.
But I remember you saying it. He said it. He said.
Oh, did he?
Ham said that Zach and Dennis curse. I forgot about it.
Matt George says dead ass. I didn't remember that.
Well, we caught it.
Oh, thank God you was in the studio.
Oh man.
All right, you know what, Dennis? Dennis was just starting to liven up.
He was
too.
About to cook on that answer.
I guess we'll never find out.
He was like, "Look, man." We got accountability. Dennis, I like Dennis. I'm not saying he an all-star, nothing like that. I'm just saying I like Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis seemed like the type where he going to say, hey, pick it up.
Oh,
pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this ain't good enough.
Yeah.
He's a leader. Dennis is a leader.
I'm with you. Sure would have been nice to hear what else he had to say. Oh, well. Sorry, point guard. Point guard Dennis, but he'll be the one to, you know, going back to Anthony Slater talking about this team needing to have a top 10 offense. Doug, we have not heard a single word about offense. Of course we were trying to get to, you know, Dennis saying 94 feet, like. The conversation is what this team can do on the defensive end, and maybe that's focusing on a weak point, or maybe it's the personality of your head coach. Yeah. Like Doug made that clear yesterday in, you know, Doug Christie form. He laughed about it, but told James, "What do you ask me about offense for? Talking about 53s, like, we want to score because of what we're doing on the defensive end. We want to score. We want fast break layups. That's what we want. If we're not on fast break layups, we want to touch the paint." He did use the term spray. We want to spray out to guys. All right, so that term is sticking around. Mm-hmm. But that's more of a basketball term than a Mike Brown term. But he says, I want to touch the paint. So we go back to this conversation about having facilitators on the floor. Dennis and Domas. Domas has a frustrating ability to find everybody on the floor. Mm-hmm. I say frustrating because there's so many times where it's like, you know, you're like a top three strong guy in the league. Like, you can do this yourself. Mm-hmm. But he'll see Zach, Keegan, somebody, and he'll find them in the right spot and move the ball out. But we've wondered or we've asked, how will this offense move with Dennis here now, Zach LaVine being a scorer, DeMar being a creator, and then Domas being able to do a little bit of all of that. Mm-hmm. Doug said yesterday, we want to score on fast breaks. We want to get layups. When we don't, we want to touch the paint, mm-hmm. work from there, and then spray out to our guys, you know, around the arc.
Right.
And to me, that's like, okay, you've got scorers on the floor, really, really good ones. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start with Domas and move from there.
Yeah, and then you know what? You were thinking Domas, and you said DeMar on accident. I think DeMar, while that's not primarily who he is, I think he's an underrated creator for others.
Okay.
I think he's a guy that realizes when the defense is locked in on him, mm-hmm. and he can spray out the shooters as well. And it looks a little different because it's not necessarily like a true point guard getting into the paint and, you know, attacking and then kicking out real quick. DeMar can just see like, oh, maybe the defense is kind of – he's holding the ball at the elbow. Mm-hmm. Defense kind of focusing on me. Oh, boom, let me hit Keegan right there, wide open three. I think that's an underrated aspect of his game. So sometimes when you're able to unlock that part of DeMar, you may have three guys out there that can create for others, two and a half guys that can create for others that are good with the basketball and finding open guys. So,
and that's just in the starting lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have a guy off the bench who's really, really good at doing that too, mm-hmm. and Malik. And Malik is kind of the guy who can do all of these things.
Yeah.
He can create, he can score, and he can – I said create. I was actually meaning create for others. Mm-hmm. He can score. But as we've learned, very, very importantly, he can create for himself too.
Right, 100%. So this is what these guys talk about when you ask them questions and you talk about talent and the talent that they have out there. They got talent all up and down their roster. They got guys that can play, they can put the ball in the basket – all up and down the roster. When teams are going up against them, more times than not, they're going to have four to maybe five guys on the court at a time who can go to work one-on-one, that can hit an open jump shot, that can get to the line, that can create for themselves. And that's going to put stress on the other team's defense, mm-hmm. Against a lot of the teams that you play. And that's even when you talk about some of the guys coming off the bench. Like Malik Monk is a problem. If you're out there and you've got Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, and Zach LaVine, somebody's going to have a little bit of a mismatch. And somebody's going to have an opportunity to score, if need be, in their matchup. Dennis Schroeder is kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they got a lot of talent on the offense. On the defensive end, is where their focus needs to be, because if they can figure out something on there, they may be cooking with a little something. They could be a little bit better than people give them credit for. I also like Zach LaVine kind of mentioned it too. Something that I always thought about with Beam Team 1. But Zach was like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people on here got something to play for, whether it's pride, whether it's mm-hmm. contract, whether it's a rookie, got something to prove. And I think that is a good recipe for a potentially successful team when people got stakes, some at stake.
I also think it's not the worst thing in the world to have guys, or as we learned yesterday, at least a guy being a little pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to DeMar DeRozan,
yes.
and what DeMar said yesterday. DeMar, not only, I know because of the nature of the way he was talking, Jesse had to edit the audio of that clip.
Mm-hmm.
The video exists. You could see it out there. DeMar looked agitated discussing the way people talk about this basketball team. He looked agitated discussing last season. Mm-hmm. You don't want that energy to live in you. But having that energy right now, oh, that don't bother me a bit.
Not at all.
Yeah, that don't bother me a bit. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, I need that type of energy in this locker room and on this team.
It's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point where you've got to put it aside. Like, I don't want DeMar shouldn't have to reference last season again, right? We all, you know, I'm gonna call it a circus. He called it something else,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't. Yep, it was acknowledged, and I think it is. It's great for a player to say, "No, we know what you know." And I got news for you guys. It was way worse. It was way worse than you think it was, mm-hmm. and. You know, the fact that he seems to be in a, like, he feels like everything is in a healthier place right now.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me, and I know this is what media day is for. I know this is what training camp is for, fresh starts are for. It gives me hope for this season because, and I feel like we have been very consistent. This team wasn't a 40, this team was better than 40 and 42. And we could argue whether it was a 50-win team or not, but they grossly underachieved at 40 and 42.
I agree.
And finding the happy medium between maybe overrating what they might be and them underachieving is why I keep landing on, I think they could easily win 40-something games this year.
I'm with you.
And I'm talking 44, 45, somewhere in that vicinity. And then we'll see what that winds up being in terms of that's almost certainly a play-in spot, but we'll see what that means in terms of playing at home, playing on the road, and what they're able to do from there because they've been in play-in games now 2 years in a row and haven't been able to go anywhere. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about your Sacramento Kings and maybe even discuss the San Francisco 49ers a little bit as they get ready to play on Thursday night against the Los Angeles Rams. It's Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN
1320. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commercial break was a reminder why I hate my life.
Why do you hate your life? Why? Why? You shouldn't hate your life. You shouldn't hate your life because it's Major League Baseball postseason. We've been doing this for 6 months, and we get to this point right here. 6 months. That's all we needed. They weren't having good ratings. Then they said, hey, put Yankees Red Sox on. That's where I came into play. Dwayne. Also, home run Yankees. Home run. 1-0 Yanks.
5 years of this. The home run part is accurate. The home run was hit. It is 1-0 Yankees.
How you feeling, Jesse? Not right now.
I looked right over at Jesse.
Aaron Judge was going to be Anthony Volpe. It's a, oh my, it's fine.
But just in general, how do you feel about this series?
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't too nervous going into it. But I feel like it's because I talk a lot of trash. But it's also like the Yankees are the better team. Like, they should win the series.
I was too slow. I should have pulled the camera up. I looked over at Jesse when he just...
It's Anthony Volpe. That dude stinks.
You say we got Leezy here at 916-909-1320. It's the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Go buy an EV today because it's going to be more expensive tomorrow.
Like today.
like right now. Drive to go get one right now. Leezy, what's up, man?
Yo, D-Lo, Casey, Jesse, my three brothers. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man? That's copyright infringement right there, but that's okay.
Hey, it's good. TC, that's my cousin. It's good, man. He ain't tripping.
Kinfolk.
Yeah, that's right, kinfolk. Hey, guys, I know I'm super late, man, but I just want to say, you know, hey, thank y'all for everything. Hey, Media Day yesterday was awesome. Saw my boy Malik Monk. We got the same cut now. That's my twin. Max dapped me up. Yo, vibes are up, man.
That's what's up. Great pictures, too, man. Great shots.
Great job, Leezy. We're trying to get Leezy out to cover King stuff this year. He's doing a great job. You hear Leezy. He sounds like hell.
Yeah.
Because he's running around. And I assume, I assume, Leezy. Actually, Leezy, we got to go. Shams just tweeted. Didn't expect. Wow, I did not expect this. Jonathan Kuminga has agreed to a 2-year, $48.5 million contract to return to the Golden State Warriors.
The Warriors won.
The deal has a team option designed for the contract to be ripped up and renegotiated next summer.
The Warriors won. They won that battle.
They sure did. Well. R.I.P.
Kuminga Watch.
It is over. It is finally over. Jonathan Kuminga has agreed to a 2-year, $48.5 million contract to return to the Golden State Warriors. The deal has a team option designed for the contract to be ripped up and renegotiated next summer. Mm. That's what Shams wrote. The team option is designed so he can be traded and the other team can remain in control of what they do with Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. Now who, Okay.
Now,
I mean, okay, I'm tripping. It's clearly the team that can invoke the rip up clause.
The team option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More from Shams Charania here. Through negotiations between Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Aaron Turner from July to September, Golden State ultimately increased its offer by a total of $8 million to the 2-year framework and guaranteed Kuminga approximately $15 million more than his qualifying would offer this season. Kuminga chose this 2-year deal over 3 years and $75 million so he can maintain a higher level of control over his immediate future. The Warriors never wavered on team options, team option frameworks. Now both sides understand the likelihood of exploring trades when Kuminga is eligible in January.
Securing the bag.
These bitches won again. They seriously never lose in this.
We'll see.
They won again.
Well, let's find this out. Because Kieran Bagley says he thinks they still have he has a no trade clause.
I
don't know
where
he might get that. But.
No, I'm okay. Let me read that last tweet again. Let me go Shams. Kuminga has chose this 2-year deal over 3 years and $75 million, so he can maintain a higher level of control over his immediate future. The Warriors never wavered on team option frameworks. Now. Both sides understand the likelihood of exploring trades when Kuminga is eligible in January. Unless I'm missing something.
You're not.
And that's from Shams Charania. That's not working off of my memory or understanding of the collective bargaining agreement. That is directly from Shams Charania.
You're not missing anything. The only way he would have control over his future in any way is if he has a no trade clause. That wording that you said,
yeah,
I understand. That's so, that would be the only way. Everything else is with the Warriors.
Well, Kuminga chose his 2-year deal over 3 years so he can maintain a higher level control over his immediate future.
I
take that as a 2 years versus three thing.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm a basic bitch and I'm being too simplistic.
Jesus.
But that's how I took it.
Yeah, maybe that's the case too. If that's the
case. Maybe I'm wrong.
If that's the case, that's not a lot of control.
Now both sides understand the likelihood of exploring trades when Kuminga is eligible in January. This is a James Hamm question. For the no trade clause to be waived, it has to be waived now. It can't be waived in January. It's not a LeBron James no trade clause. Mm-hmm. It's a no trade clause built into a contract structure. So if memory serves me correctly, didn't Hammer say that the no trade clause stayed in effect with a 2 year deal?
That's what I thought. That's what I'm trying to think of.
We're trying to navigate a convoluted conversation here, but Sharania tweeted this with credit to Aaron Turner. I didn't read that part because it's not relevant, but he said agent Aaron Turner told ESPN. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the tweets, we're leaving out the part where he's waiving the no trade clause. That is afforded to him by the collective bargaining agreement. Because he acknowledges, let me see if I can see some. Kuminga is eligible in January. I'm sure Bobby Marks will have something on this any second. We talked a lot about what we would do if we were in this position. But the fact is, we were asking a young man to turn down $15 million. Mm-hmm. He did turn down money by not taking the 3 year deal. Mm-hmm. Tweeted 1 minute ago from Bobby Marks, Jonathan Kuminga has a January 15th trade restriction. Golden State retains flexibility to sign a 15th player, but not until the early part of the regular season. They will be hard capped at the second apron after Al Horford signs for the 5.7 tax mid-level. That's from Bobby Marks again just moments ago. So Jonathan Kuminga can be traded beginning January 15th.
Also, we reported on it. There were things to talk about. There were scenarios that were out there that we were talking about, all this other stuff. I think every single time we were asked, whether we asked each other, Kyle Madsen asked us, anybody asked us, like, what do you think is going to happen? We said every time he's going to sign with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if he was going to sign a deal or it was going to be the qualifying offer, but I didn't think the Warriors were going to trade him. That was the biggest thing. I always thought the Warriors, and they end up getting a deal that worked out for him to a certain degree, but I always thought the Warriors were going to just go to hell with this. Like, they weren't going to trade him. I didn't believe.
Yeah.
I thought if we just going to be on the qualifying offer and lose him for nothing, then that's just what we're going to do. But we're not trading him. That's what I always thought was going to happen. He'd be a Warrior.
I definitely thought he would be a Warrior. I didn't think they'd win this one. I didn't. Credit to Mike Dunleavy and his team, because they didn't blink. And whether we understand, you know, turning down $15 million or all of that, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they have told anyone who would listen as recently as 2 weeks ago, he'll sign the qualifying offer. He wants to maintain flexibility. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. He will sign the qualifying offer. They didn't. And, you know, going up, you know, from 40-something million to 48 million, it seemed like, again, it's not my money. It's not for me to speak on. This is a good chunk of money for Jonathan Kuminga, who I think has big contracts ahead of him. I just didn't think they were going to get this one.
We did also say, though, the big hang up for us when they talked about these 2 years and 3 year deals and all this other stuff was the no trade clause. I think that was more important than the player or team option. And when we would discuss this,
yeah,
it's like, you cannot give up the no trade clause. And I'm still not, I know you broke it all down as much as you could. I'm still not sure whether or not he has it still or not.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't tell. Like, I'm searching different Twitter accounts, like guys like Bobby, seeing if he's tweeted. I have to assume, because Bobby Marks tweeted that there is no, he does not have one. Mm. He does not have
one. And that's the one that's,
because if he's eligible January 15th, like, he does not have it. He has a, he does not have a no trade clause.
And that's surprising. That was, for me, that was the X factor in some of these 2 or 3 year deals. You got to keep that no trade clause. I understand you take the money when it's right there, if that's what you want to do. But if your concern was your future and having flexibility to not have to be stuck in with the Warriors if you want to, and you gotta make sure you have that no trade clause. And if he doesn't, I'm surprised that he let that go and signed a deal.
Yeah, nothing more from Shams or Bobby Marks. Maybe it's worth checking in with some of the Golden State guys.
So with the Warriors now, so they're just the second apron team. And they can trade Kuminga for...
Well, yeah, because they just brought in $24 million.
They can trade Kuminga for a player or a package of Kuminga, Moody, Buddy Hill, whatever, for a player that just makes equal value.
Correct.
This team is a second apron team.
Yeah. Warriors all remain right, firm. This from Ant-Man here. Warriors remain firm in their unwillingness to give Jonathan Kuminga a player option. Kuminga went the 1+1 team option route over the 2+1 to gain control over future and potentially sign bigger extension quicker. He is eligible for a trade on January 15th. So the third, now we've got Shams, Bobby Marks, and Anthony Slater all saying he's eligible to be traded January 15th, but no one is saying he waived the no trade clause. So I'm not clear how this 2 year thing worked and the bird rights that Hammer would often reference, because quite honestly, I guess I'm too stupid. I do not understand the collective bargaining. It goes to the idea that the Warriors were asking him to waive the no trade clause. Like, if it's put in there by the collective bargaining agreement, this isn't something that was negotiated by Aaron Turner or Rich Paul or Bill Duffy. Mm-hmm. It's put in there from the collective bargaining agreement. You shouldn't have the option to waive it. It's there to protect the player. That's why it's there. That's why it's collectively bargained. Yep. You should not have the option to waive it, player or team. Mm-hmm. So clearly, thank you for tuning in. I know nothing.
I'm just.
What do they say Seinfeld is? A show about nothing? Well, this is a show that knows nothing. I've been trying to figure this out for 3 freaking months.
This team is, I think they're better than that, what I'm about to say. This is borderline playing team, and they're second apron. All right. Have fun.
Yeah.
Have fun. And maybe you can turn Kuminga into, I don't know, the Marcus Aldridge or something at the deadline. Somebody like that. And you can get out of the play-in that way. But Thunder, Rockets, Nuggets, Clippers, Timberwolves, and now you start to talk about the Lakers and the Warriors. We're at 6-7.
God damn it, man. Really? Really?
After the Minnesota, that's 5. And now we're talking Lakers, Warriors, 6, and there's second apron.
Mm.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, let's get TC in here real quick. TC, what's up, man?
What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm vibing, just, you know, paying attention like everyone else with the Kuminga deal. Hey, I ain't got too many words on that situation. I just still stand on they didn't want to send him to Sacramento, bro. So I don't. But at the end of the day, after listening to the press conferences and listening to these dog mentalities and this defense and these guys is talking about, bro, I'm like, Kuminga, you can stay where you at, bro. I just wanted to get you over here because I thought you would fit the team. But if we got a bunch of hungry dudes and a bunch of hungry veterans and rookies ready to get after it with Doug and Perry, bro, I'm ready to keep the team together and see what we got, dog. Keep them together and see what we got. If we got to bust a move down the line, then we can bust it. Even like Malik. Malik said, man, I heard the trade talks, but you know what? I'm going to double down on that. I bought a house, big acres. I'm here to stay. I don't care about what y'all talking about. Hey.
I never slid him down. I don't know what happened. This Sopranos episode right here.
That was an epic dropout. Hey! And then he gone.
Shout out, TC.
Always shout out, TC. TC sounded a little... TC went from sad to angry. But Jonathan Kuminga will be a Golden State Warrior at the very least until January 15th. Now, this will spark questions of will the Sacramento Kings re-engage in conversations coming up in January. My guess is they don't, because now, you know, it's you essentially signed the contract, but you have $24 million. Nothing has changed. It's Malik, unless it's DeMar, and I wouldn't like that. So, like, I don't now, again, I know nothing. Mm-hmm. We've established that over the last 10 minutes. I know nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Kings could realistically get in this conversation to begin with. Clearly, in some way, shape, or form, they did. Maybe they are interested in getting back in the conversation coming up in January. My guess is, though, no.
No, I don't think so. And also, I think the Warriors made it clear that the Kings don't really have anything that they want that would entice them into making any type of deal for a guy like Jonathan Kuminga.
And now these bitches, they got exactly what they wanted, and it's that 20-some-odd million-dollar trade chip. Mm-hmm. So the type of player that they can acquire, they can study their team, first of all, it's going to be the most important thing, the market, and then zero in on a player that they might need. Now, the Malik Monk conversation might change should something happen to Buddy or Moses Moody or one of those guys that they seem to like, or maybe one of those guys are bad, or maybe an attractive trade offer comes from somewhere else for one of those guys. I'm not really sure, but maybe that's probably what will cause the Malik Monk conversation to change. But they're going to be able to analyze the market a little bit come, you know, Christmas time, and figure out if they can acquire something that their team needs with 20 some odd million dollars, which they didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think they'd have it now. Mm-hmm. Those bastards did it again. Jesse asked yesterday, I thought it was a good question. Was it the Warriors who have mastered this, or was it Bob Myers? And I was like, I don't really know Mike Dunleavy Jr. very well. Mm-hmm. I don't know Bob Myers at all. Like, I know Bob Myers, the ridiculous television personality, but I also know Bob Myers was a very wealthy man before he ever stepped foot into an NBA front office. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because he is brilliant at navigating relationships and business deals. And it's great to be a general manager who understands basketball. That's fine. Again, I don't know what type of person Mike Dunleavy Jr. is, but I did ask the question, does he understand basketball versus understanding how to navigate relationships, people, and business dealings? A lot of business dealings are manipulation.
Yeah.
And it not in a, you know, devious, underhanded, hurtful way, but you want everybody to feel like they're coming out with exactly what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You're navigating these... Scott Perry is the smoothest talker in any room he steps into. And I don't mean this in a mean, malicious way. Monty McNair was a nerd. There's it's different. Monty McNair serves a great purpose in a front office. He probably has it now with the Los Angeles Clippers. He probably had it with the Houston Rockets. He did not have it here. Wes Wilcox is not likable. You have to navigate relationships. Mm-hmm. One conversation with Scott Perry and you get it. One. And you get it.
Right.
That was Bob Myers.
Yeah.
One conversation with Bob Myers and you get it. And I did start to wonder as this week was coming to a close, or as this week got started and we knew that this Jonathan Kuminga thing was coming to a close, maybe it was Bob Myers, who worked the Chris Paul deal, the Andrew Wiggins stuff, Kelly Oubre turning, one thing into another and being able to constantly retool that Golden State Warriors team. Was it because not only did he understand the market, did he understand dollar figures, did he understand collective bargaining agreements, but he understood relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people and how to manipulate them into feeling like they got exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
Clearly, Mike Dunleavy, if nothing else, he has a strong poker face. He waited this thing out and he won.
He did.
He absolutely won. The Golden State Warriors won this.
And once again, we'll see what they're able to do with that. Maybe I wasn't under the impression before. That second apron.
I don't think I recognized that either. I knew...
If
memory serves me correctly, the big concern with Malik with Moody and Buddy wasn't fit. It was money.
Right.
That was going to cap them at the second apron. Well,
what they just did.
Yeah, math tells you that's just what they did with Jonathan Kuminga, which also tells you they have zero intention of keeping him around.
They do, but with that, it's just – it's not just his – money slot, but it's just one money slot, right? They can't do a group trade, a multiplayer trade as a second apron team.
Cannot aggregate player salaries in a trade. Teams cannot combine the salaries of multiple players to match a larger incoming salary in a trade. So it's incoming. They can't take in a bigger contract than $24 million. Mm-hmm. They can't take that in.
Mm-hmm. So they can't get more than a $24 million?
Bro, I don't know. I don't care either. As a matter of fact, I care so little, I'm ending this show. R.I.P.
Kuminga Watch.
So long.
Gone the way of Flip Side. Kuminga Watch, we'll miss you. And we'll see you here tomorrow at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Aces!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.